Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live over the airways of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. That's 888-623-3646. And if you want to send in your voicemail messages, just go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. I usually don't start off my show with a guest, but I'm about to today because you all have heard the news, the biggest news emanating out of the world of sports. And the theme of this show, there's no other way to slice it. Sex is undefeated. It seems to be that way. Because yet we have yet the latest incident, stuff that's going on right now. The Michigan Wolverines have fired its head coach, Sharon Moore, for cause, citing, quote, credible evidence, end quote, of an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Moore is 39 years of age. He is married with three children, and he has been heading the Michigan Wolverines football program after helping as offensive coordinator Jim Harbaugh take the Michigan Wolverines to the national title a couple of years ago. He's been the coach of Michigan over the last couple of years, and he is out officially as the head coach. To get into more details about it, who better to have on the show with us than my next guest? He's a New York Times bestselling author. He is a senior writer and multimedia journalist for ESPN, formerly of Yahoo. You're very familiar with his work. He's one of the best in the business when it comes to covering college sports. I'm talking about the one and only Dan Wetzel. He's on the line with us right now. Dan, how are you, man? It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
Long time.
Yeah, it has been.
Let's get right to it, man. I mean, take us through the timeline of Coach Moore being fired by Michigan and what happened over the course of yesterday up to now.
Okay, so a little earlier in the fall, there was a tip sent to the University of Michigan about a potential relationship, and that was investigated but did not pan out in a case. They weren't able to get the proper information to make it a credible allegation. So then this week, particularly Wednesday, as they put it, credible evidence, kind of overwhelming evidence, came out that this had happened, and Sharon Moore was fired almost immediately at some point mid-afternoon on Wednesday. By 4:10 p.m., the police department in Pittsfield Township, Michigan, responded to a call at an address at a residence in their town. It's just outside of Ann Arbor for a alleged assault. Moore was later detained by a separate police department in another town outside of Ann Arbor and then brought back to Pittsfield. He was then 8:30 last night booked into the Washtenaw County Jail, or not booked, but put in his custody and put in custody of in the county jail as a suspect in the alleged assault. He remains there today. This is obviously Thursday afternoon. He's still in the jail. An arraignment is expected to come tomorrow where they will read him his charges. What those charges are, we do not know, but the Pittsfield Township Police say there'll be an arraignment tomorrow that Sharon Moore is expected to be at. So that is the latest of where we're at on this timeline.
The residence that Sharon Moore went to, do we know if that is the address of the staff member that he's alleged to have had to be having the inappropriate relationship with?
So we're going to be real careful on what I'm reporting, just because this is a very sensitive situation.
Of course.
So no, we do not. We're not reporting that.
Okay. So we're not reporting that at all. Okay. And I'm wondering right now, is this person a member of the football staff? Was it a student? Who was the staff? The staff member he's alleged to have had the inappropriate relationship with?
It was a staff member in the football department that he would have authority over. So that was really the issue: is you cannot have an inappropriate relationship with someone that works for you. is on the staff and you're the boss. So that is a violation immediately of university policy as well as Sherrone Moore's contract with the University of Michigan, but it is a football staffer.
When did Michigan start this investigation again into this incident, and when did they find the need? I mean, I want you to reiterate just to make sure that we're clear. When they started the investigation, and I know that you said they felt the need compelled to act and he was fired immediately yesterday, but when did this investigation start?
Not entirely sure, but earlier in the fall, there was a tip that this might be going on, and that there was an investigation that did not pan out the details you need to make a move like this. But the information that became available this week and certainly on Wednesday made it clear. And again, there's really not anybody working at any company knows the boss can't be having inappropriate relations with someone they're overseeing. So once that goes down, an institution as big as the University of Michigan is going to cut ties pretty much no matter who you are, or they're going to face a lot of backlash on that. So that really everything came up on Wednesday. I know people are like, well, did Michigan, I'm a very suspicious, person when it comes to timing and institutions.
That's what
and
makes
stuff.
You great.
That's the job.
That's what makes you great all of these years. Absolutely.
Right.
That's how you got to be.
I don't trust anybody. But I will say, I don't get why this would help Michigan to wait until after the coaching cycle is done. Like, ideally, this doesn't happen. I mean, this is a terrible story. I mean, it's just terrible on every level. But ideally, if Michigan was plotting to wait, it would make no sense. You would want to do it before many really good coaches took jobs or recommitted to their program and all of that. So I am a suspicious person, but I am not very suspicious of this.
Dan Wetzel for ESPN right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Now, obviously, everybody's recognizing that the timing couldn't be worse. This is post-National Signing Day. They're getting ready for a bowl game in a few weeks against Texas, and now they're without their head coach and well behind and searching for one in the eyes of a lot of people. What's next for Michigan at this particular moment in time, considering what I just laid out and what you just laid out in terms of the timing of all of this having gone down?
Well, I think it's deciding both, who's going to make the call and the hire, is there going to be a committee? Is this going to be done by the athletic director? Is this going to be done by, is a search firm going to be involved? And how quickly you have to move on top candidates. So a number of people, let's just say Matt Campbell, who was at Iowa State, just signed with Penn State. Now, if this had been 2 weeks ago, maybe Matt Campbell becomes the Michigan coach and chooses Michigan over Penn State. Those kind of guys are off the table. There are still some. The Michigan job is very, very desired position. They have enormous resources, tons of money, huge fan base, media, brand, you name it. So there is a lot of interest in this job, but a lot of people are off the table or just re-signed a deal. And maybe they agreed to stay at their school for a contract extension because they thought, well, I don't really want to go to Penn State or Florida. But had it been Michigan, maybe it would have been different. So they need to identify who would come at this point. Do they want to go to the NFL ranks? Do they want to go back to the Harbaugh staff, like a Jesse Minter, his defensive coordinator out the Chargers? Do they want to try to go after Kalen DeBoer, the Alabama coach, but he's got a playoff game in 8 days? Do they want to try, Jed Fish, the Washington coach, or Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri coach, something like that? It's really a lot of things. But first step is who's going to make this hire. Look, Sherrone Moore hired a special teams coordinator 2 days ago. So I think everybody at Michigan thought this was not going to come out. Like, you wouldn't hire an assistant coach 2 days ago, a coordinator, unless you thought you were keeping your job and everyone else thought. So a lot of things went quick. There were enormous amounts of rumors about Sherrone Moore and all that, but internally in the program, it was business as usual. Now you're kind of got to move quick. The beauty when you're Michigan, you don't have to do a whole lot of selling of what you have. You just have to find the right guy that's available.
But isn't it risky, for example, let's just speculate and engage on this level.
Sure.
Is it risky to some degree for Michigan to go the route of bringing anybody associated with the the Jim Harbaugh era, considering what recently happened with the program because of his stewardship, whether it's Connor Stallions, whether it's Sharon Moore, or him, Harbaugh himself, even though he's now in the NFL coaching the Chargers, or anybody else for that matter, because of so much stuff that's happened, you know, during the Jim Harbaugh era, wouldn't it be risky to continue to attach yourself to that in any way in light of what just transpired with Sharon Moore?
Absolutely, there would be some raised eyebrows about that. There's even more. There was a number of coaches arrested for different things. There's an offensive coordinator is arrested for a computer hacking violation, you know, a federal case that's going against him that's really ugly. There is a lot. But does every person in an organization bear that? So do they want to cut ties with Harbaugh and just move on and get a different route? That's one of the discussions you would have. And that might factor into somebody like a Jesse Minter or something like that. I also think, Stephen A., the job could appeal to someone else in the NFL, other coordinators, even a head coach that maybe is sitting out or something like that. Mike Tomlin, let's say. Now, you got to wait. Mike Tomlin's not going to leave his team, right?
Right.
Mike Tomlin's that's not the kind of guy that's just going to be like, see you guys, I'm out, no. Even though we got, you know, whatever, 4 weeks left. But let's say it's someone like that who's saying, because Michigan's an interesting job in that it has all the resources to win, especially in this era with NIL. They have so much money and they have everything there. And it's not, you're living in Ann Arbor. It's a very nice town. You're right outside of Detroit. There's a major airport, a major city. You know, sometimes you'll get pro coaches like, I don't want to go live in this little college town. I'm being a fishbowl, all of that. That's not what you get there. And the Michigan fans, they are passionate, but they're generally not delusional about their place. They aren't sitting there saying, hey, we should win the national title 3 out of 4 years. The governor of Michigan, for example, will not be involved in this search. Well, they get involved in other places where you have to factor those kind of things in. You have to weigh that out.
Louisiana.
So there's a lot of appeal to Michigan that might go to a pro level coach. And who watched Harbaugh put a pro system in there and win a national title and win 3 Big Ten titles and all of that, that might not appeal if it was, say, another job that's really good.
What level of concern does Michigan have of players committed there already walking out the door? Because if the coach is fired, obviously in the age that we're living in, that gives the players the latitude and the right to just walk out the door themselves and decide to transfer somewhere else without having to sit out a year like it was in years past.
Yeah, and that is always a concern at this point with the transfer portal. All the high school recruits will be granted their release within, I think, 5 days of the hiring of a new coach. So they can tear up their whatever deals they made with Michigan or a national letter of intent or whatever document they had signed and be free to go. Michigan signed a really good recruiting class, and there are a number of five-star, really, really big-time players that no doubt are hearing from everybody today. Especially as Michigan doesn't have a coach. So that's always a concern. But I do think when you're at the level of a Michigan, of an Ohio State, of an LSU, an Alabama, a Texas, you know, one losing a few recruits is not the problem. You're going to get good players. Kids are going to want to play there. They're going to get paid there, and they got the money to pay them. So as much as it's a concern, it's not the same concern it would have been 10 years ago, 6 years ago, even, where you lose a recruiting class, it's a bad deal. Sorry about that. You can overcome that.
So with that being said, let me ask you this question. A lot of rumors about Kalen DeBoer. You don't cover Michigan. You cover all of college football, right? Okay? You know what you're talking about. You've heard the noise about Kalen DeBoer. How realistic is it to surmise that it's possible that Kalen DeBoer could elect to depart from Alabama and go to Michigan, particularly if they end up losing to Oklahoma yet again in these college football playoffs? Because it's one thing to have to succeed Nick Saban. It's another thing entirely to have to succeed Sharon Moore in Michigan. It's two different worlds. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's really the big play here, because Kalen DeBoer has a big-time recruiting class coming in. His incredible alignment inside that university, that is a very well-run athletic department. And they did a great job of – they had Nick Saban, and they said, okay, we're never going to have it this good again. You only get one of these guys. Well, they've had two, Bear Bryant, Nick Saban. You don't get Right. You can't just hire the next Nick Saban because there ain't going to be another Nick Saban. But they did a lot of stuff to line up so that their next coach would have all the advantages that Alabama has possible. So there's a lot of reason for Kalen DeBoer to stay, and he may want to stay, and I think he likes his team. You've not seen a lot of guys jump into that transfer portal or anything from that school. But on the flip side, you lose one game in Michigan, and it's not the Paul Feinbaum show blowing up all day with people screaming. You are not expected to win six national titles at your rate. If you're going to the playoff, you're reasonably beating Ohio State, at some kind of reasonable level. You're competing for national titles. You put out a successful, you're going to be very, very popular. You're going to coach a long time at the University of Michigan. So a little bit of it is just that bit. Alabama is an incredible place, but it is a little bit of a fishbowl.
I'm wondering about it because he had four losses last year. He's got three losses now. He loses to Oklahoma. It's going to be four losses.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Nick Saban. I mean, two losses would have people pulling their hair out under the Nick Saban era. And this man just got there and already has lost, seven games in 2 years. So are you hearing anything about him having regrets about being at Alabama? I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm asking you.
No, not regrets. Kalen DeBoer, if there was one guy with the personality to say, yeah, I'll follow Saban, it's Kalen DeBoer. He is fearless. He was, he worked small colleges. He worked his way up in this business. He got to Washington. He went, took over Fresno State. Then he got to Washington. Some of his play calling at Washington, there's a very famous play where they won a game over Washington State, is fourth and nine or something, and he goes for it on this trick play. Like he walked in and said, yeah, no problem, right? So I don't think he regrets it at all. He's at the University of Alabama, and he's got a really good team. They've had a lot of injuries, but we'll see what happens, right? He's coaching Alabama. So this is not a guy that plays with regret. There's no rearview mirror and all that. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't, these are coaches. They're always strategizing. They're always looking ahead. And yeah, if you lose a lot of games, maybe say, look, here's another option up here that's really good. And maybe it's in a better spot. The one thing when it comes to modern college football is money. And, Alabama, for all of its might and all of the SEC resources and everything, compared to a place, to a state like Michigan, an alumni base like Michigan, it can't compare. Michigan is an extremely wealthy university. It's about $20 billion endowment, but it also has access to numerous billionaires, including Larry Ellison, the second richest man in the world, whose wife is a massive, massive Michigan fan and got in on getting Bryce Underwood, the number one recruit in the country, to go to Michigan, like hands-on. So the resources that you would have almost in a bottomless way makes a Michigan as good as Alabama is. This is kind of like a Dodgers Yankees kind of thing, where those, like, Michigan's one of those where you're just like, oh yeah, we'll just sign this guy. You're not going to have that at some of these schools. The script is flipped in college football that way. You don't just need money at your institution or a commitment to football at your institution. Alabama has that, but what's going around in the state? Do you have a ton of money? What do your alums do? Right. Who is this? Michigan churn out a lot of good football players. They churn out a lot of Wall Street. They turn out a lot of finance guys. They turn out a lot of hedge fund guys, consulting guys, and that's where the real money is.
Two last questions before I let you get on out of here. If this were a year ago and you were talking to me, I'd have brought up the name primetime Deion Sanders. Colorado, fresh off a 9-4 season, with Shedeur Sanders balling for them, Travis Hunter balling for them, the eventual Heisman Trophy winner, Deion Sanders, and, just a preeminent face in college football. I would have thought about that just thinking about his recruiting prowess at a spot like the University of Michigan. I'd have said, go after him. Now, obviously, this year they were 3-9. And so as a result of that, along with his health issues, some people say, hell no, no way at all. But I'm also thinking about Ohio State. And I'm thinking about the powerhouse they are as the reigning defending national champions. And I'm thinking about the phenomenal job Ryan Day has done. He'll be on the show at the top of hour number two, by the way. And I'm saying to myself, you've got to take competing against him into consideration, because just a tad bit shy of winning the national championship, it's beating Ohio State if you're at Michigan. Whether it's primetime Deion Sanders or anybody else, is there a name that stands out in your mind, knowing the game that you, the way you know it, Dan, that should be given strong consideration for all that entails Michigan that could potentially be an ideal candidate in your eyes?
So I think there's two ways to look at that, this Michigan job. And I agree with you. I've said all along, if we could have got Prime, a Coach Prime in the SEC at one of those jobs, the recruiting would have been incredible. Colorado, yes. You know, Colorado's, he took over a 1-10 team that lost their 1-11. They lost their 11 games by an average of 31 points. Like, this is not a good program. Right. There's not a lot of local talent. You put him in the South, or you put him where he can get players. Especially the way he recruits, due to his health, unfortunately, and he's had to adapt, and his attitude's like, I don't go to high schools to recruit. I don't leave. You have to come to me. That's a hard way to build a program. Like, because, you know, if Deion Sanders walks into your high school, you know, in one of those talent programs in South Florida or North Texas or something, like, the whole school's going to go crazy, right? Everyone's going to go crazy, and he's going to scoop some of these kids up. He doesn't do that. He sits there and says, all right, this is how I'm going to get the roster. That's a tough way to go, especially at Colorado, because you're not just driving by Boulder. Five-star recruits aren't just driving by with their dad going, oh, maybe we'll stop in here. Where are they going? Wyoming? So if he got to one of those places, but I think the health concerns is really the big thing. You don't know how long he's going to coach, what's going on, but I've always wanted to see Coach Prime at a program that really fit him better than Colorado. He's done some good work at Colorado, obviously. I don't know who the proper coach, and that's kind of my other thing. All the stuff I mentioned before about what Michigan can bring to the table, that matters a lot more necessarily than, like, the personality of a coach. You need a really good coach. Jim Harbaugh is not a recruiter, but Jim Harbaugh's a kind of awkward guy. He wasn't a good, but he got his guys, and then he coached. One thing Jim Harbaugh is, say anything you want about him,
you can coach.
Hell of a coach. It's one everywhere. And so if you get the right guy just who can coach at these programs, you should do really well. Maybe you don't beat Ohio State. Ohio State's an absolute wagon. They got everything rolling. They recruit better than anybody. They transfer portal ahead of everyone. They scheme better than anybody, pretty much. They've got it rolling. But that's you're not that far behind them at Michigan. And I think if you just get the right, you don't have to be a big personality. You just have to be a really good coach these days.
Last question for you real quick. I got to run, and I appreciate your time, Dan. Sherrone Moore, does a college football coach, particularly in this day and age, recover from such a scenario that he now finds himself in? How do you come back from this if you're Sherrone Moore?
Yeah, I don't know. Professionally, I don't know. I'm sure there's a way. I think right now he needs, you know, he's got personal and legal issues to come back from that are just significant. And that's really the tragedy of this story all involved. It's a really unfun story to follow and cover. And I know the public has a lot of fun with, you know, everyone jumps on it and all that, but there's real people involved in this thing in multiple directions, his family, his children, all that. But Sherrone Moore needs to take care of Sherrone Moore right now. He's in a very, very serious situation, both personally and legally, that transcend that. But can he come back and coach someday? I'm sure. You know, I mean, that's just a. But it ain't gonna be soon. He's got a lot to work out.
And here's the deal, Dan. Forgive me for bringing this up. He's gotten fired with cause, which means he doesn't have a check coming. That $14 million buyout, he doesn't get that. That $5.6 million salary, he doesn't get any more of that. And on top of it all, he's got additional bills coming down the pike because of his legal situation. It's not good.
No.
It's not good at all. Dan Wetzel, senior writer, multimedia journalist, New York Times bestselling author, right here with Stephen A. on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Dan, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, buddy.
Anytime, man. Really enjoyed it.
Same here. went along with Dan West, one of the best in the business covering college sports. I can tell you that much. I've known him for years. But first time I'm seeing him in a long time, but he's one of the best in the business. Make no mistake about that. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. I'll get more into this story, some NFL stuff. Ryan Day, the head coach of the reigning defending national champions, Ohio State Buckeyes, is on the show for the first time. He'll be on at the top of the hour as well. So stick around. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.